Hello, this is Pat McClure.
Oh, hi, Pat. Welcome. We're just starting our program. Good to have you.
Oh, great. Well, I've been trying to dial in, and there was a technical difficulty. I kept having a mute, and I think I was typing in the wrong thing.
Oh, okay. That's good. Let's start our program off. I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 25 years in business and just entering our 12th year of doing open line. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our 2020 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. Pretty much any topic you can think of for business or human resources or working with other people, we have it over that period of time. Our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available, and we also offer skills testing and 360s, which has been a huge hit with our clients. And we also have remote lunchtime workshops such as stress management and time management, leadership and mentoring workshops. Our topic today is Grow Your Business, 10 Winning Strategies for the New Decade. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and I'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your business. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including skills testing, 360s, interpersonal coaching, team building, stress and time management workshops, and much, much more. We have an office in Taiwan and the UK, so if you have an operation in Asia or Europe and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to best interact with U.S.-based companies, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to the different calls we get from clients both domestically and globally to address the various business issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area that you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. Our special guest with us today is a longtime friend, business colleague, and member of the Lighthouse team, Pat McClure, who is a master sales coach and expert in selling across generations. Over the past 30 years, Patrick has trained salespeople and managers to drive breakthrough sales results using innovative and practical techniques. He has a knack for reducing the most complex problems to utter simplicity and showing his audience exactly how to start winning new clients. During his corporate career, Mr. McClure sold over $300 million worth of products and services at giants such as IBM, Hitachi, Data Systems, EDS, and Digital Equipment. He is a black belt master at selling complex business solutions to C-level executives, and today he will be sharing his secrets with dealing with smaller companies also, hoping to crack into the maybe Fortune 1000 firms or just to get more business from smaller companies. As the author of three books on selling, Patrick passionately and patiently serves up his wisdom to readers, clients, and audiences, and is a senior sales consultant for Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we're so glad that Pat is a part of our team. He caters to both small and large firms seeking to close more business. I feel so privileged to have Pat back with us today to share ideas that will help us with the present and the future for dealing with today's business issues. So, Pat, you're on.
Wow. I will try very hard to live up to that sterling introduction. It's always amazing when you when you get introduced in a live audience, you get the clapping and you run up there and it's thunderous applause. And when you're on a webinar, you don't hear anything. So anyway, thank you all for joining us today. We're going to be talking about growing your business. In case you haven't realized, and you probably have, we are now in 2020, which means we are now in a brand new decade. And I don't know about you, but I have been seeing massive changes in sales and how we approach sales and what we need to do to make sales effective. And it's a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and I speak and write a lot about this topic. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the 10 winning strategies. And I think, Alan, you're doing the slides, so if you could move to the next one on today's challenges. And I don't have it on my screen, so I'm just going to take my word for it. You should be seeing on your screen today's challenges.
We're up.
Okay, great. All right, so what we're dealing with, T, I mentioned we're in a new decade, and everybody that's in sales or sales management, and there's probably people that aren't in sales, but they're also in CEOs or presidents, these are the challenges we're running into in business today. We are dealing with information overload. There's just way too much information coming at us from multiple areas. We're dealing with challenges branding our companies and learning how to influence other people. We're having massive difficulties connecting across generations. The baby boomers are having difficulty communicating to the Gen Z. Gen Z having difficulty communicating with Gen X, and we're going to be talking more about that. But just getting our information across generations is a challenge. Major challenges with new business development. Techniques that used to work to get clients or to get meetings in the past don't necessarily work anymore. We're all struggling with staying relevant. Every time I sit down in a meeting and there are millennials or Gen Z in the room, I listen to them and they're talking to me, the old fogey in the room, and I learn. But it's very difficult. You have to really stay on top of the game to be relevant. And as I mentioned before, today's practices need to change. What worked in the past isn't working anymore. And these are the challenges all of my salespeople, sales managers, and companies are running into. So, Ellen, next slide, please. For those of you that are time-constrained, and aren't we all, I'm going to give you essentially the 10 strategies. And I'm just going to list them here, comment on them briefly, and then I'm going to move into the rest of the presentation. But you can see in front of you, I am recommending for any company that wants to stay relevant and grow their business, these are the 10 things that you really need to pay attention to. First of all, you need to really target your market. And you're going to have to target not only your market, but the cohorts. And I'm going to talk more about that briefly. Unique value proposition. Whatever you're selling or marketing needs to be unique. It needs to stand out from everybody else, and there are ways of doing that. Every company needs to market across generations. We're now in the new normal, and we're going to talk more about what that means. What used to work in the past quite a bit was knocking on doors and picking up the phone and calling people. Well, that doesn't work hardly anymore. You need to change your strategy and your direction, and I'm going to give you some specific tips on how to do that. Companies in the past used to be tolerant when you'd show up and you'd kind of fumble around and talk about your company. Not anymore. If you're not really prepared to get to the point and give something relevant right up front, you're going to lose them. There's a strategy that's really effective called free. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how you need to, in your marketing and your sales, replace the old selling term with something called influencing. And I also pair that with value. And also, you need to take advantage of the technology, how you reach people and the media that you use and the techniques and the platforms that you use have really changed. And I'm also recommending as a strategy, you might want to strongly consider hiring a Gen Z or a Gen Y as part of your team. So in recap, if you're really time constrained, those are the 10 strategies we're going to go over today. And so I will move on to the next slide. Ellen, if you can move forward for us. All right, you should see a big green slide in front of you called the Four Generations. We're going to touch on a few points. You can read the slide as well as I can, but we're going to touch on a few points, and we're basically the four generations that exist in the marketplace right now. And by the way, I was asked by some folks in Long Beach, I was speaking recently to the Long Beach Rotary Club, and they said, well, what's the generation before the baby boomers? And that's the World War II vets. They're called the silent generation. They're not on this list because none of them, you're not selling to any of them. They've already retired. Baby boomers are increasingly retiring. It's a big issue right now because a lot of companies are looking at replacing people that are retiring. And your baby boomers are now between the age of 55 and 73. You see when they were born. I'm part of the baby boomer generation, so I'm kind of an old fogey. We were driven to succeed. Everybody in my generation, it was right after the war, the race was on to accumulate as much wealth as possible and to get ahead. We were the largest generation until quite recently, and we were also the first generation to welcome women in large numbers into the workforce. And our challenge was to just get ahead. Our sons and daughters, the next generation, was the Gen X. Gen Xers, for those of you on the phone, probably most of you are Gen Xers, age 38 to 54. This was called the reactive generation. This was the generation after the baby boomers. Baby boomers, by the way, were very idealistic. We bought into the system. We believed that we could get ahead. We believed that the sky was the limit. Gen X was a little bit more jaundiced. They were more reactive. This was the first generation that saw large-scale layoffs and pink slips. Up until this point, people pretty much went to work for a company and you had lifetime employment. That was no longer true with the Gen X. Gen X generation was the first generation to welcome computers. Baby boomers had computers, but they were largely mainframes and desktops. Gen Xers started seeing computers massively used in the business world. And also quite a bit of divorce and less stability in the Gen X generation. And again, by the way, these are stereotypes. They may not 100% apply to you, but they apply to the cohort or the generation. The next generation up was the millennials. You've probably heard a lot about the millennials. I've written white papers on this generation. They tended to be, they're the sons and the daughters of the Gen X, and they are now increasingly taking on leadership roles in companies. Most of them are junior executives at this point, senior salespeople, first-level managers, second-level managers, and a number of them have actually started their own companies. A lot of millennials you've heard of, the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerman, he's a millennial. Singers, Adele is a millennial. Taylor Swift is a millennial. So a lot of these people, you see, they're a lot more casual. They're a lot more flippant, but they're also incredibly plugged in. This generation grew up with computers. This generation grew up on the internet. The term of derision is snowflakes, and I know that millennials on the call don't like that. The reason why they got that is because this was a generation that more than any defined politically correct. It was no longer possible to push people down or bully people. People competed, but everybody got a competition award. Everybody was rewarded. And so this generation was very much oriented around diversity, but they were also self-centered. Now, most of the people in this generation went to college, massive amounts of college degrees. This is the most highly educated. The greatest number of college degrees are in this generation, and also they accumulated quite a bit of student debt. The next generation just now entering the workforce is called Gen Z, and these people are aged 9 to 25. We're also calling them the I generation or the digital generation. Now, the difference is this generation are digital natives. Not only did they grow up on the internet, but they grew up on the internet being displayed on their cell phones. They grew up, incredibly wired. The statistics are that they're spending about 46% of their waking hours online on their cell phones. 46%. That's a staggering figure, particularly when you compare it to the other generations. This is also Gen Z, the most ethnically diverse generation. Greater than 50% of this generation are minorities, and they're also the largest generation as of 2020. So So that typifies a little bit about the four generations. Now we're going to go deeper into these. And Ellen, if you could move to the next slide, that would be great. Okay, so we're going to start talking about today's challenges. The first challenge you have and the first strategy you need is the correct target. You need to profile your buyers. You need to profile your target market. Now, the previous slide, we talked about the generations. So one thing you need to do is understand in depth who exactly are you selling to and what is their average age. So we need to understand the buying patterns of the cohort that you're selling into. You may be selling into baby boomers. You may be selling into companies that have a large percentage of millennials as part of the influence, and the buyers actually might be Gen Z or baby boomers. So you need to understand how they make decisions in the company and who is making that decision and what their target market is. Because you may be selling a product or a service, but you need to understand that in order to get into the company, you might need to appeal to the millennials first, and then the decision may be made by the Gen X or the baby boomers. So you need to understand each of these generations in depth and understand what motivates them, and then match your products or your services to that correct target. Key thing. So one of the things that I encourage my clients to do is not only do you need to have a sales plan, and you had to have had your sales plan completed probably by November or December of last year, otherwise you're really late. Your sales plan needs to be tuned to be able to appeal to the generation. So at this point, I'm going to pause briefly for Dana. Dana, are we getting any questions coming in, or did you have anything that I needed to clarify before we proceed?
Nope, you're doing a great job, and got a lot of good information that you've covered so far, Pat. So I think we're good. Anybody have any questions, you can go to the chat box, but I think we're good right now, Pat.
Okay, great. So let's move on to the targeting, or to the next slide. For those of you that have worked with me, I am a real firm proponent of unique value proposition and the selling of value. It comes up as a recurring theme in all of the books that I've read, or that all the books that I've written. Now, the difference between value, you probably have already heard from many, from your managers or from other people selling or books that you've read, to sell benefits. And I absolutely agree that you need to sell benefits. But what is even more important, we all know there are benefits, we need to sell the value. Now, the difference between a benefit and a value is individualized, and it's an improvement. So it's not only the benefit you get from, say, buying a car, say, maybe it has good gas mileage. Well, the recognized improvement to me would be that I'm probably going to be able to, if it's cost-effective, gas mileage-wise, I'm probably going to save $2,000 maybe a year if I buy this new car. So that's an improvement for me, and it's a value, and it's quantified. So people buy things because there's value there. And the value can be, it's a really good product, and it's better than anybody else's. That's not quantified. Tangible would be, well, this product will increase your productivity by a factor of 3. Okay, so that's tangible, and a concrete would be a dollar amount. I'll give you an example. I have a client that manufactures dental lasers. Well, it turns out that you can use a dental laser to do dental procedures. And if you use a laser to do dental procedures, you can do those procedures about 5 times faster than the previous procedures. And you can be, and the procedure can be that much more effective. And what that means is if you can do something 5 times more effective, the revenue that you generate from that can be 5 times more effective. So you're sitting on a situation where if you buy, say, a dental laser and say you pay $80,000 for it, it can pay for itself in 5 months based upon the increased productivity. So when I talk about value, I talk about take a look at whatever product or service you deliver and see if you can figure out a concrete value that somebody who buys your product or buys your service will receive. One thing I do with my clients is I tell people, I will increase your sales by 20 to 30% within 6 months. Well, that's a concrete value. So if that is resonating to people and that's a value to people, then they'll contact me. Otherwise, I can't just tell them, well, you know, if I do sales training, it's going to be good for you. Well, how good and how fast? So you must, for your business, define the unique value proposition for your company. And that's a key strategy. That's the second bullet. Okay, connect the dots. When I'm talking about connecting the dots, I'm talking about the value that we're talking about. This is pretty much sales in a nutshell. Your company must understand the concerns and the worries and the issues and the quote-unquote ruin that your company's that you're solving. And so you must delve into the problems that your clients are having and then match your unique value proposition to their problem. One of the biggest mistakes I see salespeople make is they rush in with a solution to a problem, which they think their customers have, without spending enough time understanding what exactly is the problem. I can sell a million pencils to somebody if they need a pencil. But if they already have a warehouse full of pencils, I can have the greatest pencil in the world, but they're not interested because they've already got millions of pencils. You know, so in any case, what you need to do is understand the challenges that your customers have, because one size does not fit all. Your solution, you know, may be great for the right target market, but the customer you're talking to or the prospect you're talking to does not have a need. So it's time to move on. So selling is largely connecting the dots, figuring out what they need, and then providing a unique solution. Okay, next slide. We're going to delve down now into marketing across the generations. And you see the stovepipes, baby boomer, Gen X, Gen Y, and Gen Z. I want you to focus on what is highlighted in red on those screens. It's interesting because if you take a look at the red, the screen that they're focused on, the baby boomers, that's my generation, we grew up watching television. That was a big screen. There were only three networks and there were only three channels. Things were pretty simple. We focused on that big screen. Well, Gen X, the screen got smaller. Now the screen became desktop computers, or in many cases, laptops. And then the next generation, the millennials, the screen got smaller. You got cell phones. You had Apple inventing the iPhone. You had laptops. You had more information packed onto smaller and more powerful devices. To the point now where you've got Gen Z, those under the age of 25, they're now splitting their attention across five different screens: smartphones, TVs, laptops, desktops, tablets. It's amazing how much information. We had a holiday party at our home for Thanksgiving, and my nieces and nephews and our aunts were there. So we had a whole group of people sitting on the sofa, and I took one picture with the television in the background, with my aunt using her laptop, with my nephews and nieces using their cell phones and also using a gaming console. So in one picture, I had six different screens in one picture, everybody talking to each other and doing things simultaneously. Now, the Gen Zers, the real young people, are very used to switching their attention across multiple screens at the same time. My generation has difficulty doing that, the baby boomers, Gen X. So the environment that you are raised in relates to how much information and how you're processing it. So this has to do with the screen. The other red bar that you'll see in front of you is, how do we market to these people? Well, marketing has changed. The baby boomers, we used a traditional sales approach, which was solutions. We were marketing solutions to people. The next generation, we transitioned into value-based selling. The next generation, the Gen Y or the millennials, we really needed to focus on unique value proposition and branding our marketing. It really needed to be more individualized, because this was the generation that they didn't have to just take for granted what you wrote. They had the ability to go and research on the internet. And so they would go research on the internet. They would know in some cases more about your company and your product than you had on your literature. And the Gen Z is almost eerie how they do that, because the Gen Z, those under the age of 25, they're not only looking at multiple screens, they're looking at multiple social media sites, and they're seamlessly getting information back and forth across multiple sites simultaneously. So they'll have 10 screens open. They'll be looking at Instagram, Twitter. They'll be looking at reputation sites. They'll be looking at Facebook and LinkedIn, which are older social media sites. And they'll be looking at video simultaneously. So the amount of information your Gen Zs are able to process is phenomenal. And so when we're marketing, we really have to market fast and quick and bullets. So marketing has really changed. What used to work with baby boomers, we could use channels, we could put ads in television, we could put ads in magazines and newspapers. That doesn't work with Gen Z, because guess what? They don't read newspapers, right? They'll read online feeds. They don't read magazines, right? They'll look for the video. They'll look for the Instagram. They'll look for the podcast. So you must adjust your marketing to use the channel that appeals to the generation. So I'll pause just a second. Dana, any comments or questions?
Nope, we're good. A lot of great information.
So, marketing across generations. And again, I only have 45 minutes, so we're really going fast. You will get all these slides available to you, and you can also review them afterwards. And I will have my contact information at the end for you to get in touch with me if you have a specific question. Okay, selling tips. How do you sell to Gen Z? Well, take a look here. We have to replace selling with something called influencing. Remember, Gen Z, those are the people under the age of 25. Now, if they are in your target market, or if they work in the companies that you need to penetrate into, realize they are spending 46% of their time on their cell phone. So guess what? If your marketing message is not on cell phone, if it's not mobile enabled, if it's not moving, if it's not video and sound, you're dead in the water, because that's all Gen Z looks at. User-generated content. Figure out a way to get your users to contribute to your marketplace and put content on. You must entertain and dazzle superior design and technology, and you want to leverage video. Realize that Gen Z has about a 7-second attention span. Okay? Now, this means whenever you're looking at websites, you know, the old adage was a website is looked at, a landing page is looked at for about 6 or 7 seconds before they switch. That's true, and it's even more true for cell phones. I see people at the gym where I work out on their cell phone texting and looking at videos and doing that simultaneously while they're still working out. It's absolutely eerie. I don't know how people do that, but attention span is unbelievable. The other thing with Gen Z, there's something called FOMO, fear of missing out. So anytime you're dealing with Gen Z and millennials, you've got a very short attention span. That means you need to get your message landed quickly, because if it doesn't land quickly, they'll switch onto multiple sites simultaneously and you've lost them. So you must get your message out quickly. Selling tips for Gen Z and also millennials. Next, selling tips for old folks. You'll have a situation where if you are already a millennial or a Gen Z and you're trying to sell to older folks, baby boomers, you now have the luxury of using traditional sales methods. Because guess what? My generation may not be looking at webcasts. We may not be looking at webinars. We may not be looking at YouTube videos. We may not listen to podcasts. But my generation will take a phone call. We'll take an email. We will look at television advertising. We will look at magazines, right? So traditional sales methods still work with baby boomers and Gen X. So, and also my generation is really, really oriented around ROI and wealth, as are Gen X also. So marketing campaigns can go to the desktop and to computers, so you can use more traditional sales techniques for your older folks. All right, moving on. Next tip, sell in the new normal. We've referred to this briefly. Sales today are customer driven. That means you can't enforce your solution on your customer. You need to listen to your customers. They will tell you what they know or what they need. It's very strange because buyers, oftentimes, they already know about your products by their research before you even meet with them. So the fact that you're meeting with them, you might look at it this way. The fact that you're meeting with them, you're already on the short list. So they already did their research. They already know the two or three companies that they want to talk to, and the reason they're meeting with you is they already know. So you kill yourself if you show up using a traditional selling technique saying, oh, Mr. Customer, let me tell you about my company and what we do. Guess what? They already know. You're wasting their time. You've already lost them. So they want to know. They've already done their research. They want to know, what's in it for me? And the key question is down there on the bottom, right? And I got this from a study that MIT did, the Sloan School. The buyers want to know, and they want to know this right up front. What improvement in my business will I see from using your product? Okay? So rather than putting a complicated PowerPoint presentation together, you want to do two or three slides, and the first slide is, what's the improvement? I.e., what am I going to see? What's going to improve if I use your product? That's what they want to see. So highlight that right up front, and don't worry about a big background or a history on your company. They already know. Okay, keep it simple, keep it relevant, keep it a priority, okay? And remember, they are evaluating you. Now, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of new salespeople have struggles with this. And I run into this. The reason why I've done so much work on selling across generations is because one of my largest customers was all millennials. And they had a business model that said that they had to sell over the phone. And if they didn't sell over the phone, they needed to make 4 follow-up calls. Well, I had a whole group of a generation of millennials that had difficulty making follow-on calls. And I drilled down to that and I said, why are you having difficulties? And I was told, well, we really don't like to call. We don't really like to pick up the phone because we may have to talk to somebody. And that's a real fear, the fear of face-to-face communication or interpersonal communication. So I encourage people, work on your interpersonal communication skills and realize in that important first meeting or phone call, they're evaluating you first. And if you make it past that, then they'll take a look at your firm. People do business with people they like and respect. That probably will never change. I hope that they'll never be able to replace us with robots. Who knows? They may. All right. Number 5, replace cold calling with warm calling. I have a good friend that has written a book, Frank Rumbuskas, Never Cold Call Again. I highly recommend it. It's a great book. But what you find in that book is he's recommending that cold calling does not work anymore. What he really recommends, if you drill down, I think it's on page 68 at the bottom, make sure if you're making calls, they are warm calls. I like to get calls that are warm referrals. So all of the networking that I do is generating warm referrals. That means if I call somebody, they already know who I am. Or better yet, I'm getting introduced to them live by someone that they know and respect. You're going to use LinkedIn to connect with people. So if you're not already using LinkedIn, that is the number one business networking tool. You can find all kinds of information about the company that you're calling on, the person that you're calling on. Also, it's very interesting to find out what schools they went to, what associations or groups they belong to, and use that for your introductory call. There's a strategy also that I've learned this from millennials. Use texting to stage your calls. So if you're lucky enough to get this person's cell phone and you're having difficulty reaching them, or even if you're not, you can text them. You can say, hey, got some great ideas. Do you got 5 minutes? And they'll text you right back and say, yeah, call me at blah, blah. So you stage your calls, you cultivate warm referrals, and you maximize your script. So that means the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you talk to somebody is something valuable, not to you, but valuable to them. So stage your calls and make sure that you're warm calling instead of cold calling. Next thing, you must deliver whatever you're delivering at light speed. The faster your delivery is, the faster and the better it is. Now, it's an instant gratification world. By now, probably everybody in the world has heard about Amazon Prime. My wife has certainly heard about it. About every other day, a truck arrives and a package arrives from Amazon Prime. And it could be books, it could be dresses, it could be groceries, whatever. And she's on Amazon Prime, so there's no delivery charge. I have no idea how they make any money doing that. Well, actually, I have some idea. But it's amazing. It's instant gratification. You can be on a website. You want to find a book. You have the name of the book. You can press one button, and it's ordered, and the next day it arrives on your desktop or right in your front door. And it's amazing. So Amazon Prime has really pioneered that. We also know we can get movies or videos on demand over the web. So we decide to buy, we press a button, and there it is. We can do news. Whenever I want to look at news, I can get it live, not only on television. I can get it right on my desktop. I can get it right on my cell phone. I can go, if I'm at lunch, I used to buy a newspaper when I read at lunch if I was on my own. Now I just pull out my cell phone, and I have 6 different newspaper or news feeds, and I just filter them, and I look at the news right there on my cell phone as I'm eating. Groceries delivered in minutes, not to mention online dating. Customers will no longer tolerate delays. So if there is a big delay in your service or your product, you've got a problem. So if you're in manufacturing, companies will not tolerate a 2 or a 3 week delay. They must get that product quickly. And so deliver at light speed is my advice. Use free as a strategy. Number 7. This is a great strategy. I found out about this a long time ago with a company called Salesforce.com. They probably have the number one, in fact, they do have the number one CRM, customer relationship management application, on the market. And part of their sales technique is they offer a free version. So anybody that wants to try out that product can do free version. Zoho also does that. So in the CRM world, which is the sales automation world, there are all kinds of products that you can try for free. Movie trailers, free previews, get those for free. Pilot programs, proof of concept. Consulting firms are brilliant at this. You sell a proof of concept or a pilot program. Oftentimes you can get the customer to pay or partially pay, or you can offer something for free. And what you do is it's free, but then the cost of delivering it is embedded into the next phase of the project. Gillette, you know, the razor is free, charge for the braids. HP, guess what? That printer is almost free, but boy, do you pay for the ink. So free as a strategy is a great strategy for this new decade. Influencing. Influencing has replaced selling. I first ran into this term a couple years ago. I said, what in the heck is an influencer? Well, it turns out that there are people out there that have millions and millions of followers, and they are influencers. I think the target, in order to officially be labeled an influencer, you must have about 35,000 people following you. And if you have that many follows on your personal, on your Twitter account or in your Facebook account, you can officially be listed as an influencer. Influencers, by the way, Selena Gomez, the popular millennial singer, she has, I don't know how many millions of followers. I think it's something on the order of about 16 million followers. The product placement fee for her to mention you in a tweet on Twitter, is $1 million. That's actually probably more. That information is about 3 years old. So influencers are actually, that's how they're getting eyeballs. And so internet influencers are very, very important. If you're not, if you don't have somebody on your staff or in your company that's actively working on internet influence, it's important. Also, reputation management is critically important, because if people are out there looking at your product and giving you a negative review, that gets translated into millions of people having a negative impression, can actually crash your company. So whoever you're doing that's doing your web and your influencing and your outbound marketing on social media really needs to be fine-tuned for reputation management. So this brings me to the next point. You must take advantage of technology. Whoever you've got doing your marketing, it must also include your full panoply of social media. What social media sites are you using? Now, the way you do this is poll your users, poll your clients, poll your prospects, and find out what social media sites they're looking at. Find out how they find out about technology. Find out what they're doing. Find out what groups they belong to. Find out what magazines or podcasts or videos they're looking at. And then make sure that you embed your key branded messages on all of those platforms and all media sources. You can use Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, Snapchat, whatever. Podcasts oftentimes really appeal more than books, particularly to your Gen Zers and your millennials. I'm a real fan of short videos. Do short videos. And by short video, I mean anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds. People will watch, particularly your younger generation will watch videos. Your older generation are increasingly using these techniques to find out about things too. So take full advantage of technology and realize people are wired into technology, wired onto the web, and they will look at that. Finally, the tenth tip is hire a Gen Yer or Gen Zer. The best way, and I wrote a white paper about 3 years ago on millennials, and before I published it, I assembled a team, a focus group of Gen Yers or millennials, and I said, hey guys, read this white paper and tell me what's wrong, what needs to be changed, what needs to be thrown out, and boy, did I get some great advice. Because millennials, by the way, they don't have the filters that a lot of us have, a lot of the older generation. If they don't like something, they will tell you right up front. And they'll tell you what you need to do to change. And Gen Zers are even more. So these people grew up in a social media-rich environment in which everybody is equal. Because guess what? We're all looking at the same screen. And so one of the benefits and one of the detractors of social media is it's mostly anonymous. So you can claim a persona, you can promote yourself, you can promote your company, and a lot of it is largely, it's invisible. We don't see who those people really are. We don't see who they really, what they really look like or how old they are or whatever. And so what that means is that the Gen Zers are much more prone to take a look at multiple sites so that they can figure out what's really going on. And so these people grew up with the internet and they grew up with social media. So if you want to be on social media, hire these people and help. They will really, really help. Put them in your marketing department and watch what happens. Big changes will happen. So again, here's the 10 winning strategies that I'm advising people to adopt for survival in the next decade. And I welcome feedback on these. I'm sure there's some strategies that should be included that aren't. And there may be a strategy or two that's old. Things change about from every day to day in sales and in marketing. And so I'm constantly trying to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on. And I hope that this was useful to all of you. My contact information is here. I've written two or three books on sales. You can find them on Amazon. You can also find them on my website. My contact information is there. I'm open to get feedback and suggestions. And if you happen to have a marketing or a sales organization that is struggling, I'd love to talk to you because I do that a lot. I come in and I turn sales organizations around. So once again, here's to your success, and particularly in the next decade. Thank you much.
Pat, that was a phenomenal program, so rich with information. And we're going to be sending out the slides and audio to all of our attendees today. And if you want to share the information with an association that you're in or other colleagues, please feel free to pass this information along because it is so valuable. We're also going to, on March 19th, is our next Open Line program, and it's going to be entitled Mentoring 101, How to Mentor Others. Pat, that was phenomenal. I want to thank you for being on Open Line again. As always, you bring such amazing value. If you have any questions and want to spend some one-to-one time with Pat, as with the HP printer, Pat will spend time with you. And then there's the ink at the end that you have to buy.
I always spend at least an hour with somebody helping them, giving them suggestions. I always in an hour, I can always give three great suggestions. And then if there's a good synergy between the two of us or the company and us, and if there's a need, I may be able to help. And if not, I'll certainly recommend somebody that will be able to help.
Perfect. Well, thank you, everybody, for attending. Look forward to you attending next month. And, Pat, thank you again. I wish everybody a wonderful rest of the day. And I'm sure we'll all be talking soon. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you all.